710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? In just a minute, Pedro Moore is going to join us, who covers the Dodgers for The Athletic. We'll get to the outbreak story with the Miami Marlins, but just a couple of words on the series this weekend. Dodgers won the first two Thursday, Friday by a combined 17-2 score, went on to lose the Saturday-Sunday games. Saturday, Alex Wood got the start. He did not look good, had trouble finding the plate, lasted just three innings. Dodgers had at least four base running errors. Will Smith hit a pinch hit homer in the ninth. Do we have that pinch hit homer in the ninth for Will Smith?
After seeing a couple balls up and in to Will Smith, God makes a mistake right down the middle, and Will Smith just drills it into the cardboard cutouts, and he almost took that guy's head off.
Yeah, kind of the afterthought of the home run.
Exactly. Cody Bellinger flied out to end the game. Dodgers lose that one. And then yesterday, tight ball game. Giants got the go-ahead run in the sixth. Dodgers in the eighth inning loaded the bases and could not score. Julio Urias looked really good, threw five innings of one-run ball. Mookie Betts off to a slow start, 3 of 20 with an RBI. Cody Bellinger starting slow, 4 of 17 with an RBI. Max Muncy has two home runs, two doubles. Kike's off to a great start, 6 of 18, homer, 5 RBIs. And JT is just a hitting machine, 7 of 15 with 4 RBIs.
And joining us to talk about the Dodgers is Pedro Mora from The Athletic. Pedro, how you holding up?
Hey, guys. I'm doing fine. How are you?
We're doing okay. We're hanging in there. So the Dodgers look like how we thought they would look in the first two games against the Giants. And then in the next two, they looked kind of the opposite. Is it something or nothing that they split the opening series with the Giants?
It's probably nothing, but I understand why you're asking, because those latter two games were not great. You know, they did not, considering the quality of their opponent, you know, the Giants probably have fewer than 10 players who would crack the Dodgers roster.
Yep.
So to have them split a series is not ideal. But, you know, as you guys know, it's baseball, right? This is a sport that's built on extremely long seasons. That's not going to be the case this year, but it's still, you know, only 1/15th of this expected season.
So before they expanded the playoffs, which was just before the very first pitch of the season, I, as a Dodger fan, was thinking, man, 60 games, Dodgers last 7 years won the division title. Only twice did they lead the division after 60 games. I'm nervous. Now that everybody's getting in, now it's 8 teams, 3 division winners, and 5 wild cards. I have no concern that the Dodgers will be in the playoffs. They're, for all intents, is playing for seeding, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the Dodgers could finish fourth in the National League West and still make the playoffs the way these new postseason systems are constructed. So, yeah, I can't see a conceivable way in which, you know, this world continues in any way that we understand at all, and the Dodgers do not make the playoffs in 2020.
The starting pitching, you know, we haven't seen guys like Kershaw and Buehler. Let me start with Kershaw, Pedro. What's your level of concern that he'll be out for more than just a start or two?
Not that high. That's subject to change, but not that high for now. He's throwing. You know, he threw a bullpen session yesterday. He's scheduled to throw another one tomorrow in Houston. It sounds like he's going to come back this weekend in Arizona. You know, whether he'll be the same remains to be seen. You know, I'll be watching eagerly to see what that's like. I don't think for now the Dodgers' concern is not very high.
And what about Buehler? Why didn't we see him in the Giants series?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. It sounds like Buehler took some time off during the shutdown. You know, usually when we hear pitchers take time off during the summer, that means, you know, something's wrong with them physically. He says, and the team says, that he was never hurt, that he just decided to take a few weeks, a couple weeks off, you know, how much time they're being vague about. But so the reason he was delayed is simply because of that. You know, he's only just starting to ramp up. He's not going to be able to throw more than 4 or 5 innings in his season debut tomorrow. And so that's why they delayed him through the first series, because they wanted to get him one more ramp-up start before this debut.
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of got, I mean, Stripling threw really well for him. Wood, I thought, was a mess. Urias looked really good. Dustin May looked really good. But if you add Kershaw and Buehler, a healthy Buehler and a guy that you're slowly building up to that rotation, I think you've got the kind of rotation that can win the National League West and win the World Series. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. I think, honestly, I think they could. Their rotation really doesn't have to be very good to win the West. This offense, is going to beat down opposing teams. I just don't see how it won't happen. 1 through 9, they have the best lineup in the National League, really without competition. And I don't think their pitching needs to be perfect. That, you know, they could finish the season with an average rotation, and I don't think that'd be a problem whatsoever.
We're talking to Pedro Moore from The Athletic. Okay, Pedro, let's address the elephant in the room. We've been having this whole conversation for 4 or 5 minutes as if the season's going to go on and then everything's normal.
We got to talk some baseball.
Yeah, it is the opposite of normal based on what happened with the Miami Marlins in Philadelphia. Mason and I both think that what happened today is not enough to shut down the league, that with 30-man rosters and 30-man taxi squads, they actually kind of are prepared for something like this. Are we underestimating the significance of the story with the Marlins?
No, I don't think you're underestimating it. I think it's quite clear that Major League Baseball did not plan to shut down the sport in the event of 11 positive cases, even if they were all spread within one team. You know, I think what could change it is if the Phillies tests come back with several positives. That would be a different conversation. But right now, no, I don't think so. You know, nobody who spent any time analyzing this topic thought that they were going to get through this entire season without any outbreak. You know, whether they should be playing on is an entirely different question. Right, but whether they will play on, I think if the cases remain this way, is really not up for debate. I mean, there's games going on today. The Dodgers are going to play in Houston, Texas tomorrow.
Yeah. Now here's the thing, though, and I find this to be an interesting issue. So if I'm, let's see, I'm trying to think of, they don't have that many great players. If I'm Jonathan Villar or Brian Anderson of the Marlins, and I see everybody around me just tested positive, I think I would be incentivized, and knowing that you're not going to make the playoffs, that's not a good baseball team. I think you're incentivized to opt out, don't you?
Yes. I mean, I have to be frank with you. I am surprised that more players did not opt out. You know, earlier on, I was expecting that more players who were financially secure would have opted out, and it hasn't happened. But I am wondering if that is going to happen now, and that's the unknown that could force baseball's hand, right? If superstars opt out because of this, then all of a sudden the league faces different questions, right? Like if the best players in the East, you know, who are scheduled to play the Marlins soon, decide they want no part of that, then that's a different question, and that could lead to a very quick shutdown, I would think.
All right, Pedro, we're talking to Pedro Moore from The Athletic. I read David Price, who plays for the Dodgers but has never pitched an inning. He was picked up in the offseason and then is one of the guys that opted out. Tweeted this today, quote, "Now we really get to see if MLB is going to put their players' health first. Remember when Manfred said players' health was paramount? Part of the reason I'm at home right now is because players' health wasn't being put first. I can see that hasn't changed." End quote. I read that, Pedro, and I thought that's a bad look for Price, that for him to tweet that when his teammates are in the middle of trying to make this work doesn't look good. What do you think?
I agree with you entirely. You know, there's a history of Price inflaming teammates with similar actions in his past, although you will hear from the Dodgers, you know, they've said steadfastly during this month that he is a beloved teammate. So there's something going on there that I don't understand, but his teammates do appreciate him. But yes, I was thinking about that from my perspective. I would be offended, right? If I am the player who has decided in my family's best interest, understanding the entire circumstance and thinking that I still should do this, you know, and understanding that Price made a different decision because of the amount, you know, partially because of the amount of money that he's made in his career and the safety he's already accrued, that it's okay for us to think differently about that. But to say then, you know, to imply then that the players aren't operating really in their own best self-interest by choosing to continue, that's, you know, that's potentially hurtful, right? It's a complicated thing to veer into. And it's also tough to throw that accusation out without specifics. You know, do I think that players' health is being put first? No, not necessarily, but it's hard to say that. You know, the sport has put together, according to experts, a pretty solid protocol.
You know, the one thing I wonder about, and I talked about this earlier with Jeff Passan, but, you know, we hear about cases, right? And there are X number of cases. And that's what we've got here, 13 cases in this outbreak. But what we don't often think about is that there are people behind those tests, and some of them might get sick. Is the worst case scenario for baseball that somebody gets, and for, like Freddie Freeman talked about how bad his case of COVID was, that he didn't want to close his eyes. He had 104.5 degree fever, and he didn't know that necessarily that he was going to make it. Is that the worst case scenario that somebody gets really sick? How does baseball handle that?
It's a great question. I do not know the answer. I mean, let's look at it this way. I imagine you probably talked about this with Passan earlier, right? So baseball's already had a scout die from this. They've had a prominent superstar player fall seriously ill. They've had a prominent player fall ill in a way that will appear to affect his life in the future. Eduardo Rodriguez, the Red Sox pitcher. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, what happens? Like, what more do we need to see than that? It's hard to say. I wish it was more clear, but I do not have any concrete answers for you. And I question whether anyone does.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. And I don't know, like you said, have we seen enough? And Jeff made the point earlier that if it's a big name player, like a big market, big name player were to get this, Pedro, and get really, mm-hmm. really sick, that might derail it. The fact that you mentioned a scout passed away that you know, nobody knows that person's name is, unfortunately, it shouldn't be this way, but they were able to kind of move past that. If, God forbid, an all-star player or an MVP candidate were to get it, I think it would change, don't you?
Yes. I mean, I guess the question is, how serious are the symptoms, right?
Right.
Freeman's
right.
symptoms were pretty serious, right? Like, do they need to be hospitalized? Do they need to be, you know, hospitalized for a certain amount of time? I mean, like, what's the threshold? It's just really uncertain. And I question whether, you know, what we're all comfortable with as fans and followers or, you know, people involved with baseball.
Pedro, last thing for me, because you're all knowing baseball guy. This is your life. This is what you do. What percentage chance, and I'm going to hold you to this, what percentage chance do you think baseball finishes its season?
As in plays?
All the way through. Like, through the play.
Crowns a champion.
Okay. You're not going to like this, Steve.
Really?
5%.
5%?
Yeah.
Buster's the same way. Buster put it at 0.
He did?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I was
5%.
Like a month ago, and I had gone up to about 8 or 10 a week ago, and now I'm back down to 5. So I don't know.
Here's a big question. I just a quick follow-up. I mean, I drafted a hell of a fantasy baseball team last night. I mean, what does that – how will that impact me and my wallet? Because I think I really put together a team.
Yeah, what about Vegas too? I mean, all these, I've been getting odds emails day after day from PR, from bet odds making companies. You know, they've put together so many different things. How much money has been placed on this? I mean, there's a lot of little corollary things that just might get, you know, thrown out the window here in a couple days. If I was making a bet on this season, I would have done it on winning percentage, not on wins.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Pedro, thank you very much for coming on, man. I am more optimistic than you. I'm going to be more optimistic than you. I think there is a 50% chance that we see a World Series
50%.
Champion. Yep.
What about you, John?
I'm right in between the two of you. I would lean more towards Mason, though. I think it's probably 35. Yeah, but you're around it, Pedro, a lot more than we are. I there's a lot of moving parts, and the thing that makes me nervous is that, and this is no pun intended, I said moving parts, is that teams now are getting on planes and going to hotels and they're not in a bubble. Like, for example, I think the NBA has a 90% chance of crowning a champion. I think they figured it out and their bubble looks good. But baseball, what I worry about, Pedro, in your sport is that they're moving from city to city without a bubble. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, the Dodgers just touched down in Houston right around now. And,
yep.
And yeah, that's not a comforting I'm sure that's not comforting here for any Dodgers fans.
And by the way, Houston is another epicenter for coronavirus. Houston's been really, really bad down in Texas. So, and then the next stop is Arizona, where it's been really bad. So
yeah, exactly.
This travel is going to put everything to the test for the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's, we'll know a lot more, I think, in a week or two, for sure.
All right. All right. Hey, thanks, Pedro, thank you very much for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Bye-bye. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers. Hey, that's a good one.
I like that. I'm going to end my calls with cheers.
Are you from Britain?
Cheers. Cheers. Let's put this out. Does baseball make it? Does it survive this outbreak? You guys are really smart out there. Our listeners are really smart. And by the way, we appreciate you being out there every day. Means a lot to us. We love you guys. But you're going to have a smart take on this. Is baseball going to make it? Is it going to survive this outbreak? 11 players and two coaches for the Miami Marlins. A couple of cancellations already. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. Let's hear from some of you guys next. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN.
All right. During COVID-19, if you have any plumbing problems, don't just let them sit there. Don't say, well, we're in a pandemic, I can't get them fixed. Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air is open and working at full capacity during COVID-19. They've also established and upheld industry-leading standards of safety and hygiene, so you can feel good about them coming into your house, fixing your problem, and getting out with face masks and foot coverings and no contact with you or your family. Again, Power Pro is at full capacity. So, and they've implemented every procedure they can on CDC recommendations to respond and reduce the threat of COVID-19. So if you have a plumbing issue, a heating issue, an air conditioning issue, give Power Pro a call. Here's the number, 800-584-4116. That's 800-584-4116, or visit powerproplumbing.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Yeah, yeah, big day. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Baseball's going on right now. I'm watching a game, so I know it's they haven't shut the game down. Mets up 2-0 over the Red Sox. Lakers played an exhibition game today, or played a scrimmage today against Washington, played one on Saturday. Today, J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters both looked fantastic. Alex Caruso also looked fantastic in that game.
And something about – here's – one reason why you should be excited, even though that there weren't a lot of star players in the game today. The Lakers, Mace, are 17. They're number one in the NBA in shooting percentage.
Yep.
They're the best shooting percentage team in the league, but they're number 17 in three-point shooting percentage. J.R. Smith today went 5 of 6 from three, and the other day, Kyle Kuzma, or J.R. Smith went 6 of 7, and the other day, Kyle Kuzma went 5 of 6. So if LeBron and AD can create space and these guys can start making their shots, and Waiter's shot looks good too, I think then all of a sudden you have a chance to really move up in those rankings.
It'll yeah, I've got less faith in Kuzma. That was a great game. He looked great. He shot really well. I have less faith in Kuzma than everybody else seems to, just because he appears to be a 30% shooter from three-point range pretty consistently. So needs to improve that. Hopefully he gets on a roll like he did on Saturday. But I'm not as sold on Kuzma as everybody else is.
All right, so we're asking the question, do you think baseball is going to make it? I think they have a chance. You said about a 50% chance.
Mine's yeah.
About 35. Pedro Mora, who covers baseball for The Athletic, said 5% chance that they make it. Funch, you're going to have to tell us who's online because our call screen's not working.
All right, let's go to line one, Stephen from Loma Linda.
Stephen, Loma Linda, you're on Mason in Ireland. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What chance do you get baseball?
I want to give you the reasons why, right? First off, J.R. Smith should have packed way more than 7 pairs of boxers, but the MLB had the ability to go into Scottsdale, Arizona and replicate what the NBA did, right? So you've already seen what the NBA guys have done, getting hot wings, you know, Zion doing family and putting protective measures in front of there so they can control as much of the atmosphere as possible, right? There's no way in hell you can have players going from L.A. getting on a plane, right, getting out of their private, they're walking down the tarmac, they get to the hotel. Who the hell's in the hotel? How long have they been there? Are they being checked every day? Like, what are the procedures they put into place? And then they're going to Arizona, and then they're going to Houston, right?
Yep.
So because of that, there's way too many intangibles that aren't being controlled. And what we see with the NBA being so successful is great. Now, I get there's more baseball players on a team and more personnel. So if baseball doesn't make it, there's no way in hell the NFL's going to make it. If the NFL is smart, right, they're going to do the same thing they did. I had the ability to coach a team down in Garden Grove. We took them to Disney World. And they need to rip those facilities out down there the same way the NBA did. There's no way in hell you're going to be able to get people a 53-man roster on a football team, a 34-man roster and personnel on a baseball team. It's just not successful. Like, I'd be willing to – I'm a big poker player, big bettor. I'd be willing to lay everything I've got on the line that baseball does not finish its season out. There's just too many unpredictable unknowns.
Interesting. And the comparison you made between baseball and football is really interesting. Mace, football would have twice as many people as baseball.
Oh, it'd be really, really hard.
And thank you, Stephen, for the phone call.
Thanks for the call. And in a lot of ways, and he makes a really good point, baseball's kind of the canary in the coal mine for the NFL. Here's what it looks like if you're playing in your home stadium and you're traveling. In the case of the NFL or college football, that's even more people. That's a traveling party of 100, right? A college football team, what's the traveling party?
Oh, yeah, at least 100.
100, 120, something like that?
Yeah,
I mean, it's
the
a whole
85
bunch of people.
Players, coaches, you know, Fat Cat boosters, trainers, yeah.
And they're going to be traveling. They're doing exactly what baseball is doing. Now, I think what baseball's got to do, and this just occurred to me, you know, in the MLS Welcome Back Tournament, and I should mention LAFC, I think, is playing Seattle tonight in a knockout game rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals. I was at that game. They lost to Seattle 3-1. But they had two teams just drop out. Two teams just said, you know, we got a bunch of infections. We're dropping out. I think it was the Dallas team and the Nashville team.
Yeah, so I think one of them came back in, but
and it may be the case that we lose a team. Maybe we lose the Marlins.
Let's go to Dan in Vegas on line 4. Hey, Dan, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Sure.
First of all, thank you very much both for the Lakers prize pack. That was awesome. It came in last
week.
Good. Glad you won it, man.
Thank you, sirs. I'll give you my short take because I want other people to say their piece. I believe, personally, we're crowning a World Series champion 100% with a single caveat, and that's if a player or a coach dies, because we secretly found a scout died and another player was almost on his deathbed with 104 temperature, and guess what? Batter up. So I think unless someone dies, we're finishing the season. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, thanks, Dan. That's a very interesting thing, Mace. So if someone got Freddie Freeman sick, Dan thinks they would keep going, but literally death would be what would stop it.
Well, let me just ask you something. Had you heard before we had Pedro on that there was a scout that died of COVID?
I had not.
I had not either. I mean, that's stuff that...
But...
There needs to be transparency. We should know that stuff.
Okay, keep in mind, a scout could be older.
Sure.
Could be between, you know, 70 and 90. And
right.
And it could be COVID-related, but the cause of death could have been something else.
Okay, Dr. Ireland.
No, but here's what I'm thinking. Like, recently, I came across somebody who had died, and originally I was told they died from COVID.
Yeah.
Then later, I found out they died from blood clots. But then I heard COVID causes blood clots.
Right.
So is that a COVID-related death?
It was an older person. Yeah, but you know, here's the thing. I mean, there are people with underlying conditions. You know, like the one thing nobody will say in terms of underlying conditions, the biggest underlying condition is fatness. I mean,
obesity.
If you're obese and you've got type 2 diabetes, it's a really serious underlying condition. Now, I don't think baseball players are type 2 diabetic. I think there are a couple of guys that came out and said they're type 1. But everybody is not going to be a fit young athlete that is involved in this operation. There are going to be older guys. In this case, a scout, which I want to do more research on and find out exactly what happened. In the case of Freddie Freeman, you know, it just because it's a case doesn't mean it's asymptomatic. We go on the assumption that he's asymptomatic, nothing really. No, you can get really sick from this, and you can be, you know, you can be Freddie Freeman and be 30 years old and be one of the best sluggers in the league in Atlanta, and you can still get sick.
But it's such a terrible time too, because like I'll give you an example. I went to a funeral last week.
Yeah.
And one of my best friends from high school, so a guy my age, lost his mom. And we all knew his mom, so a lot of us went down for the service. But a lot of her friends were unable to attend because it's not safe for all them to be around each other.
Sure.
So it's even tough to grieve, you know? It's just such a I need 2020 to end. I needed it to end yesterday. Here is a should we still have Perry from Bakersfield online?
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's Perry. You're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey guys, how are you? Sure, love
good,
your show.
Man. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
I hate to be the downer. I say 0%. I'll give you a reason why.
Okay.
Is I had this in April, and I'm perfect condition. Never had health problems. I play all sports, and I 4 months later, I still have like asthma, and I still have problems that I never had. Mm-hmm. Hard to breathe. I have to take surgery.
Perry, how old are you?
I'm 46 and in perfect shape.
Yep.
Never had any problems in my life. And so with that said, I didn't even take this serious until I had it. And my sister and her husband and their doctors begged me to go. And I said, no, I'll be fine. Even if I get it, I'll be fine, because the news that I was listening to, it'll pass. It's just for old people. And so unfortunately, anyone that does really get it, is I could understand why Price stayed out. Because if I had a chance now, I don't know when this will go away. And so I say 0% for that reason. And if I can add one thing, sure, about the kneeling, and I add this, is I definitely think too many people are offended by people kneeling and saying it is within the anthem. And if they say it's not about the anthem, can't we pick a time outside the anthem to kneel? Just come together and say, look, everyone has the right to kneel. Just don't do it during this time. If it has nothing to do with the anthem, you shouldn't do it then.
All right. Thank you, Perry, for the phone call.
Okay, Mace, guys.
That's an interesting point. The reason people do it during the anthem is because it's specifically designed to gain attention.
Sure.
But what if the shortstop just kneeled at the start of the seventh inning? Would that have the same effect?
No, not at all.
I see. I think it'd be bigger.
See, I don't think so at all. I think kneeling during the anthem is what makes people uncomfortable. It's supposed to make guys like Mike Ditka, who we talked about earlier, uncomfortable. That's what it's designed for. It's
right,
designed to get people out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, but the problem with that theory is that the anthem is not televised.
Well, we don't know with the NBA if it's going to be televised, do we?
Well, we never do.
But I just wonder, in this particular year, when there is so much at stake from a social justice
perspective. Well, you know what? We'll find out Thursday.
Yeah, we'll find out Thursday. Because we know, for example, Gabe Kapler is kneeling during the national anthem, manager of the Giants.
That was reported by people who were at the game, but it wasn't televised.
Yeah, but I've seen pictures of it.
But I wonder, like, if you actually did it within the body of a game, like, how about this? Any player who reaches second base... You know, they always call it, if you had a double.
Yeah.
Take a knee. Would that have the same effect? I think it might. I don't know.
I don't think it would. I mean, it's the kneeling during the anthem is designed to piss a certain kind of person off.
Right. How about this? Anytime anybody hits a homer, you stop at second base and take a knee and then stand up and start.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. That's kind of interesting. Yeah.
They always cover the home run trots.
Yeah, they do. You're right. You're right. That's kind of interesting.
So to Perry's point, though, I agree with you. It is designed to make people uncomfortable and to get people talking about it. But if you took it out of the anthem and put it inside the game, would people be more uncomfortable or less uncomfortable?
Well, I personally think less. I just think I know we talk about this anthem debate all the time, and people think it's because, you know, you're disrespecting the anthem, you're disrespecting the country, you're disrespecting the troops, all that kind of stuff. That view is out there. But I think that's what makes it so powerful. It shakes those people up and gets them to reconsider things from different angles. And, you know, some people are never going to give on it. Some people are always going to link disrespecting the troops and kneeling for the anthem, despite the fact that it was Nate Boyer's idea, who was a Navy SEAL? Nate Boyer?
So. Yeah.
Who gave Kaepernick
the
idea.
Either that or an Army Ranger. Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah, one of those. One of those. It was actually originated from somebody who was just out of the military. But no, I mean,
did you hear what the WNBA did this weekend?
Yeah, did they walk off? Is that what they did?
Before the anthem started playing. So in other words, they invited people, you know, like the horn went off. They said, ladies and gentlemen, please rise. And the players just ran into the locker room. And then they came back out after the anthem was over.
I think that's solid. I think that's a solid way to make your point.
And then that way no one could accuse them of disrespecting the anthem because they weren't out there.
Although you walked out right in the middle of the anthem. You can hear people still complaining.
Yeah, but that's factually incorrect.
Or when you play the national anthem, you stand at attention. That's what we do in this country. I'm just thinking about what the other side says.
Yeah. Yeah, but the women, just to make clear, they were not doing anything during the anthem except staying in the locker room.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'll be interested to see what they do on Thursday night for the opener.
Coming up next, we have a hail fellow well met to someone who used to come on our show and who we're going to miss. We'll tell you about that coming up.
And don't forget, at 5:45 is Game of Games, and then Slee was going to get in here at 6 o'clock tonight. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. Game of Games is coming up for you in 15 minutes. And, you know, there are certain people, John, in my life and in my career that I have looked at and sort of thought about modeling myself after. And, you know, among those people, I got to work with Tom Snyder. He was one of those guys. It was that way with Howard Stern, who I listened to religiously. It's actually that way with Joe Rogan, who's doing his podcast right now. It's that way with Steve Edwards, who used to be the Good Day LA guy.
Yeah, sure.
Fantastic broadcaster. And it was always that way with Regis Philbin.
And Regis passed away this weekend. But he was on TV forever.
Yeah.
Most people now know him for the Regis and Kathy Lee or the Regis and Kelly show, and he ended up leaving that a few years ago. And Adam, what did we find? We found tape of him when he was on our show.
No, it was tape of when he was on his show talking about going on your show.
Okay, so play. This is Regis. We don't know how long ago this is, but this is Regis talking about us on his show.
We needed a motivational speech from you. A motivational speech.
And like a jerk last Thursday, I think I told you, I was on this show, a radio show, ESPN radio show in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And of course, they're beating my brains out about who's going to win the game. And I'm saying, Notre Dame doesn't lose another game this season.
Oh, you told them too?
Yeah.
Not just us?
Not only that, but I said, and you watch what's going to happen here. They're going to get rolling. They're going to tear that SC team apart. And I'm going to call you guys next Monday night and rub it in.
Oh, no.
They're waiting for me to call them tonight.
Yeah, call them.
I could break down crying again.
You know what?
Hi, guys.
You know what? Here's what you do. You call them and you pretend like you have a bad connection. Just say, I can't break.
Can't hear you.
Going to tunnel.
That's a good idea.
And then click.
I like that.
And then the phone goes dead.
Sorry. Coming into the tunnel. Yeah. Mason and Ireland.
I'll let you use my cell phone, and chances are you'll drop the call anyway.
That was a heyday. That was a big shout out for us.
That was a big shout out. You know, the Reed, we got to know a little bit, and he came on the show a few times. And one time, my grandmother, Rose Santa Cruz from Altoona, Pennsylvania, loved Regis Philbin. She just loved him. She lived by that show every day, waited to hear what Regis thought about everything that was happening in the world. And so I thought, okay, this would be a great treat. I will bring, we'll get Regis on, and then I'll call my grandmother, Rose, and put her on with Reg. And so I'm like, my grandmother's going to be excited. She's going to just be effusive about Regis and how she listens, watches him all the time. So Regis says, how you doing, Rose? And my grandmother says, not too good, Reg. and then goes into a litany about her hip hurts and her coffee got burned and not too good, Reg. Oh, my grandmother.
Well, that was Regis's legacy, is that people were comfortable around him. You know,
he was like, as a broadcaster, John, I always think of it this way. He was like a comfortable pair of slippers you would put on.
Right.
It's like, oh, yeah, that's Reg. I'm comfortable with him in the room with me on the TV. Great broadcaster. Great broadcaster. So John, the one thing that came out today, and we saw another Lakers scrimmage. There was one on Saturday. By the way, what was that like doing the scrimmage in an empty building the way you were?
A little different. We had done it for China. Michael and I didn't go to China this year. We did those games from a studio. So it wasn't the first time we'd done it. But I miss the energy of a crowd. I'm sure the players do too. But we made it work. And, you know, it was funny. We were like, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yep.
Matter of fact, Adam, who's doing our show today, is the main person behind doing all those. He produces all the Laker games. And we had a weird issue. We had natural sound, like so you could hear the sneakers in the basket, but
yep,
we couldn't sync it up so it was right on time. So I'd say LeBron dribbles left, spins back to his right, and then you'd hear a whistle, and you hear the announcer go, foul on Nikola Vucevic. LeBron James will shoot to, and on my feed, he hasn't been fouled yet.
Right.
So finally, it took, Adam.
We got it figured out in the second half.
Like, finally, third quarter, early third quarter, we got it synced up. But in the first quarter, I'm sure people were going,
yeah, I got cocky. It's all my fault. I got cocky.
No, you figured out. Look what happened today to Spectrum. Spectrum, Billy Mack, and Michael lost the feed for half an hour. I mean, I think that's going to be, Mace,
to the new world.
Yeah. One thing that COVID kneecapped, production value.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to get all your moving parts, you know, synced up.
Well, it did it in another way, too. Like, for example, I was watching the game today, and Skype is now a totally acceptable way to appear on television. I think
Allie Clifton.
Allie Clifton was on Skype during the game. If you watch,
Mace,
I don't know, name your cable news station.
Okay,
on Skype.
What's my guilty pleasure on TV?
Vanderpump Rules.
Well, even more so, Andy Cohen's Happens Live. All Skype. He's in the Hamptons Skyping with people. That's it.
And the quality is good enough now.
Yeah, and they have dropouts and they have technical issues, but that, I think that's the world we live in now.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. And I actually think it's going to be better. I think the fact that you can be, and I hope they start doing this, the fact that you can have somebody Skype into a game, like they did this during one of the Dodgers, one of the Dodgers preseason games, they had David Price Skype in during the game, which is cool, which you can now do. You can Skype somebody in right in the middle of the game and add their commentary. They don't have to be in the booth with you. There doesn't need to be a camera where they are. All they need is a laptop or a phone, and they can be part of the broadcast. So I think this is all going to be positive, with the exception of those jobs that went to people who brought cameras out to people's houses to shoot live shots.
John, do I need to start booking guests for the Lakers games?
Not yet. Not yet. We'll figure it out. Oh, somebody, Lou Riley, Mace, just tweeted me that Regis, they're going to put an episode of Celebrity Jeopardy on tonight featuring Regis.
Ah,
which is
that's so cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next is Game of Games. I've got a chance to extend my lead over you, and I better do it because this is the last week.
Yeah, it's Ireland 5, Lindsay 4, Mason 4, B-Cam 1 as a fill-in, and Funch 2. And I've got the game coming up next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure, now my honor, to save the five words that light up Los Angeles every weeknight here on 710 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Joining us right now is Alan Sliwa. Sliwa, what's up?
Okay, that had to go yesterday. So you guys did the podcast?
We did. We did the podcast.
It's up. People are starting to react to it now. It's the podcast is up. It will be a huge hit.
Yeah, okay, go to stevemason.com. John Ireland interviewed me. A few months back, I interviewed John. This is the reverse. He turns the tables on me, and he does one of those probing kind of, I don't know, who would you compare yourself to as an interviewer?
Mike Wallace.
Mike Wallace, exactly. Mike Wallace. He grills me. So you can get that at stevemason.com and subscribe while you're there. Yeah, it went good, man. It went good. You know who's next up? Alan Sliwa. Let's go deep, man. Let's go deep. What is the life of Alan Sliwa? We have no idea. You're just a voice that appears from the ether here. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen you in 6 months, probably.
I saw Sliwa on Saturday.
Oh, that's
right. How about
that? How'd that go?
John, it was, what do you think? Kind of weird, just the whole LA,
yeah.
LA Live. I don't think I've ever been to LA Live where there's not
there
another soul.
There were a total
security
of
guards.
Six people there. Alan, me, Michael, Adam, Amanda and Rebecca. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinal Carlo was there. Seven people in the whole building.
Mace, what's so weird is just LA Live.
Is it a ghost town?
I think there's more security guards there than there are actual people.
Is Starbucks open?
John, did we discover? Yeah, John, you said somebody
was in
there, right?
It was open.
Right,
nobody was in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It must be really strange. It must be really strange.
Hey, Sliwa, let me ask you a question. How excited should I be about J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters scoring all these points in these scrimmages? I know that these scrimmages don't count. I know that today LeBron and AD and Kuz and Dwight Howard and John Wall and Bradley Beal didn't play. But I think J.R. and Waiters look great and might be able to help. Do you think I'm looking at this two purple and gold colored glasses here, or do you think so too?
No, I think they'll have a role. I could just see games where one of the biggest things, question mark, was coming to the trade deadline is Lakers don't have a player that can create for himself. And, of course, LeBron can, Anthony Davis can, but who's that player that when you need a bucket, you can just get it? Deion Waiters kind of fits that role for the Lakers. By the way, he's fit that role in the NBA since he's been in the league. He's just had off-the-court issues.
He is a creator, and mostly for himself. It is. Yeah. It's really fun to watch.
But that's really what the Lakers need.
They need
somebody who can create when LeBron is off the floor. He's a perfect guy. I'm buying stock in Deion Waiters.
What do you have, John? I think 18 on Saturday, another – or I'm sorry, 18 today, another 12 on
12
Saturday.
12 on Saturday, yeah.
Just kind of – I feel like a player like that, there's going to be times where the Lakers, especially against some of the upper echelon opponents – where the Lakers need somebody, give LeBron his rest, maybe AD's in the game, but the guy can still get you 10 points in a quarter, and Deion Waiters has that capability. J.R. Smith, I think I'm still curious about J.R. Smith. A lot, I think, the buckets he'll get is going to come from guys like LeBron who are setting him up, but Deion,
okay,
I'm
so
definitely excited about.
One of my favorite podcasts on The Ringer is called The Rewatchables. It's basically Bill Simmons and Chris Ryan and Sean Fennessy going back and watching old movies and doing deep dives on them.
Yep.
And one of the things at the end, they do a series of awards, who won the movie, was this Apex Mountain for certain actors
sure.
in the movie. And one of the awards they've done, ever since the Rewatchable started, is the Dion Waiters Award. And that is for the person that comes into a movie that's only in it for like 8 to 10 minutes, but that just heats up and then gets out, like of a movie. Like, who comes in and like steals a movie, at not necessarily steals a movie, but comes in and has like maybe 8 to 10 really good movies. And to your point, really good minutes in a movie. To your point, Sliwa, LeBron and AD are going to be out there for about 40 minutes in the playoffs. So you really only need 8 to 10 minutes of Waiters heating up. And if he can do that, he can really make a difference.
It's effortless for him, too. You know, some players just score. That's what they do. Jamal Crawford used to kill the Lakers. Just use that as an example. He used to always, seems like anytime they needed big buckets, they got it. Lou Williams does that for the Clippers now.
Yep.
Dion can kind of fit that role for the Lakers, especially buyout market came, and they were able to pick up kind of a muscle guy in Markieff that they needed, and obviously Dion to play that
role.
By
the way, Mace, a good example of a Dion Waiters Award in a movie would be Alec Baldwin in Glengarry Glen Ross.
Sure. Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, it would be John Malkovich in Rounders.
Right. Right. He might actually be in the movie too much. But
yeah, he might be. You're right.
But Alec Baldwin in Glengarry Glen Ross is perfect. Comes in, you know, goes nuts for 5-6 minutes, and then he's out.
Yep.
You know, that'd be a good example of it.
You know, John, I got excited too, and I'm sure a lot of Laker fans did. How great did Kuz look on Saturday? He didn't play today, but 25
yeah,
points. Mace, he only took 13 shots, shot 10 of 13 from the field. Like, it didn't take him 25 shots to get, you know, 25 points. But there's another player that the Lakers are going to be so dependent on, these role players come postseason against these big-time opponents. At least in these exhibition games, you saw that these guys looked extremely comfortable. And I'm talking about Kuzma.
Well, here's the thing about Kuzma. So Kuzma was great on Saturday. If Kuzma is great consistently, there's nobody that will beat the Lakers. There's nobody that will beat them. It's just he hasn't been consistent all year long. I mean, he's now 2 years in a row, he's a 30% shooter from three-point range. He just hasn't been that guy.
I will tell you guys that everybody I've talked to that's inside the bubble, like that's working for the Lakers,
yeah,
tells me that Kuzma's been just killing it in practice. I mean, like, absolutely killing it. So I think he knows he's got an opportunity here to address those things you point out, Mace, that he, for a couple of years, ever since LeBron got here, he's been trying to find his way.
Yeah.
And so maybe now he's
Yeah, he's actually shooting 29% from
so
three.
So I want to play something for you guys and just have you react to it. So this Lou Williams story is the story. It would have been a huge story today had this baseball thing not broke.
Lemon pepper wings.
Lou, who I know a little bit because he played for the Lakers and is, you know, every interaction I've had with Lou is good. He made a mistake. He had to leave the bubble to go to a funeral for a close family friend. And while he was out of the bubble, he went to Magic City, a strip club, which happens to be his favorite restaurant, to pick up lemon pepper wings.
Yep.
So today on The Jump, Rachel Nichols was on with Tracy McGrady, who's, of course, yep, a former player, and Amin El-Hassan. And they had this debate, and I'll play it. This runs less than a minute, and then I'll have you guys react to it.
Okay.
How big a deal is this for Lou, for the Clippers, for the league? Says he was just getting dinner.
This is not even a story. Like, what are we talking about? The man had an excuse to leave the bubble to go to a family funeral, and he went and got something to eat. Because it's a strip club, we making this a story? I mean, if he was to go to Wingstop or if he was to go to the grocery store, what is the difference?
Yo, first of all, Tracy, I must say I'm so offended. I'm so offended by what you said. Because you just compared Wingstop and grocery store wings to Magic City. Sir, how dare you? Magic City has the best chicken wings I've ever had in my life. Not comparing them to Little Stop.
I know.
All right. But to Tracy McGrady's point, guys, is this something or nothing that Lou Williams went to pick up wings at a strip club?
I feel right off the bat, I mean, when I read the story, it felt like, and this is me talking with the ability to go anywhere I want. These guys are sitting in a bubble. But the first thing went to my mind, I thought it was careless, and I thought it was, selfish in a sense, because here you are in this Orlando bubble. Everybody's trying to follow the same exact protocols, And all it takes, I mean, we can't make comparisons. It's not apples to apples when you compare what's happening in baseball to what's happening in the NBA. But everybody knows COVID can spread so quick. And what the league has done to kind of put themselves in this position to potentially finish off the season, the first thing that went to my mind was, damn, this is a not smart at all, and it's selfish. But I see what McGrady's saying. What if he was at Applebee's and he took a picture and he was tagged on Instagram? Does that change everything? You know what I mean? Like, what if he was just at a regular restaurant and it wasn't at a strip club? I think the fact that – I'm assuming the fact that I think is bothering everybody is because it was at a strip club and it wasn't obviously this is
right, and there were pictures of him with this guy having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the NBA bubble will work if players buy into it. If players don't buy into it, it's not going to work. It will collapse. It will absolutely collapse. Now, the one good thing about Lou Williams is, and I don't know if he was going to self-report, like, my impression is Lou Williams was going to go to dinner or go to the strip club, come back, have a four-day quarantine, and be right back in the bubble. Instead, the NBA says, nope, that's a 10-day quarantine. We saw the pictures of where you are. That's a 10-day quarantine situation. I think as long as you self-report, in other words, I went out and met a girl. I snuck out and I went to a restaurant. I snuck out and I went to a strip club. I snuck out of the bubble and I did whatever. As long as you self-report that and then quarantine yourself for 10 days, I don't have a problem with it. What's irresponsible is...
Isn't that what Lou's doing?
It is what Lou's... I'm defending Lou.
Yeah.
But if somebody sneaks out, does whatever, and then doesn't report it, then it has the potential to turn into an outbreak like we see with the Miami Marlins. You've got to self-report if you're going to leave the bubble. Like, I don't care if Lou Williams goes, go strip club, whatever you want. Just sit out 10 days. As long as you sit out 10 days, I don't really care where you were. That means you're negative for COVID.
I think that's McGrady's point.
Yeah.
You know, that it's once he left the bubble, he was going to be put into quarantine anyway. And, Alan, this is why, by the way, Alex Caruso asked a lot of questions about going to his sister's wedding, and they told him, look, if you're going to go to a wedding with 100 people there, and it's going to be indoors, you're going to have to quarantine for 10 days because your exposure is pretty high. And that was part of the reason why he decided not to go. But I don't know if it's fair to criticize Lou because he went to Magic City. I think that once he left the bubble, that was it. He was going to be quarantining anyway, and probably because he went to a memorial service, he was looking at 10 days.
I was just going to ask that. Do we know that no matter what, was he going to be quarantined for 10 days?
Don't know. Like, I don't know the answer to that. Zion was out and came back and quarantined 4 days. So I don't know what the difference between 4 and 10 is.
The way I understand it is, if you leave the bubble for whatever reason and you agree to get tested every day you're out and you don't go into any high exposure areas. So in other words, you practice social distancing and you're not interacting with other people, then you're eligible for you got to get tested every day and social distance. If you do that, you're eligible for a 4-day quarantine. If not, you're getting 10. That's my understanding of the rule.
Mace, what if he wasn't tagged in that photo? I guess that's the only question I had is.
Yeah, by the way, we haven't talked enough about that.
That rapper really screwed him.
Well, it's a completely different story if he doesn't get tagged. That's the only way we know about it. And by the way, Friday there was this BS thing. Jack Harlow came out and said, yeah, no, I just, for old time's sake, I put a picture up of me and Lou. That's garbage. You're both wearing masks. I mean, it's clear that the picture was just taken. You were at the strip club. No, I just thought I put one up for old time's sake. No, Jack, that isn't what happened.
Okay, do you think it was calculated? Like, for example, I had never heard of Jack Harlow before this. Now everybody's heard of Jack Harlow. You think he did it to improve his brand?
Well, Jack Harlow's a thing. Funch, Adam, isn't Jack Harlow a thing?
Yeah. Like here, I'm.
I mean, I don't know him, but.
Oh, that's him. That's a good song.
Yeah, but Jack Harlow is a snitch.
Well, no, he's not a snitch.
he snitched when he
tagged
Lou.
He didn't even use the snitch line.
He's just dumb.
Well, we're lucky.
There's
that
difference.
Photo came out.
No,
what,
there
Mace,
is
what if
no
that
difference.
Photo didn't come out?
Mace, when he tagged him, he was in essence acting as a snitch.
But he didn't know he was acting. You have to have self-awareness to know you're acting
it?
Like a snitch. You can do something that turns out to be like snitch-like, but that doesn't mean you're a snitch. Jack Harlow is not a snitch.
Nope. Once a snitch, always a snitch. As soon as he tagged him, he went into snitch.
I'm going to defend both Lou Williams and Jack Harlow on this.
Jack Harlow is not eligible for a defense. He tagged Lou.
He's not eligible for a defense.
He's not.
Everybody in America deserves a fair defense.
The second he tagged Lou on social media, he wrecked him. And Lou was probably going to report it anyway.
How about the publicity for Magic City and their food?
Oh, yeah. Well, how about the – I pulled up this, you know, this whole lemon pepper wings thing. I mean, have you heard the whole lemon pepper wings thing?
Okay, go ahead.
Rashawn Holmes, mm-hmm. I think I have that right, right? Rashawn Holmes from Sacramento got busted for stepping out of the bubble. He was waiting to meet a Postmates driver, and do you know what he ordered?
Lemon pepper wings?
Correct. Dame Lillard had a birthday party, and he had his favorite food there as the main course. Any idea?
Lemon pepper wings.
Correct. And Lou Williams at the strip club, lemon pepper wings named after him. Lemon pepper wings are apparently a thing.
Lou's got to be getting some type of endorsement for this place, because I don't know of another restaurant that's got as much publicity for their lemon pepper wings. And by the way, only 20, what was your poll? 25, almost 26% lemon pepper?
Yeah, 25% lemon pepper.
Hey,
yeah,
by the way,
Buffalo's still the favorite.
Our old friend Kelvin Washington texted me earlier in the show. He said, black folk love lemon pepper
wings. I just don't know
wings.
That you can make that generalization.
Well, he's black. Kelvin's black. Black folk love lemon pepper wings. Rick Ross owns a bunch of wing stops and raps about them. So this is a thing. These lemon pepper – Lou did them a solid, man. People are going to flock to Magic City to try these lemon pepper wings.
I think the bigger question, did you guys know that there's strip clubs out there that are known for their food?
I did not know that.
I had no idea.
Unlike you, Sliwa, I'm not a big strip club guy. So I was unaware that you could find fine cuisine inside of a strip club.
Like my reference for
strip club,
because I don't go to strip clubs and it's never been my thing for obvious reasons. What I believe a strip club to be is the Bing on The Sopranos.
Bada
Bing? But the Bada Bing, right. Don't disrespect the ding.
The Bing.
That's my idea of a strip club, and they never have any food there. It is never about the food.
So
yeah,
who's going? Know, Mace, you know that Silvio Dante on The Sopranos, you know who that is, right?
Yeah, that's from E Street Band.
Yeah, it's Miami Steve Van Zandt.
Yeah, Steve Van Zandt.
So one time they kill a guy. I don't know if you've gotten to this,
oh,
this
God,
part
I'm
yet.
Season five, I don't know.
All right. And they say to Silvio, Miami Steve, they say, hey, why did you whack that guy? I kind of liked him. He goes, he disrespected the Bing.
Oh, I saw that. He disrespected the Bing. That's what I saw, yeah.
Which I don't know how you do that. What is it, like you took home one of the girls or something? How do you disrespect the Bing?
Well, there was one girl that wound up, didn't they kill a, they killed a girl.
Well, they killed many people.
Didn't Joey Pantaleone kill that girl, and then he disrespected the Bing by doing that?
Yeah, maybe that was it.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
I'm in the middle of it right now. It's great. It's so good. I'm in the
I'm
middle of that.
This week.
And Perry Mason is the other one that actually is really, really good. Matthew Reese is fantastic in it. So is John Lithgow. And that Tatiana Maslany's really good, who, John, you and I saw in Network on Broadway.
Yeah, she's great.
Perry Mason is a really, really good show. It's a very L.A. sort of Chinatown-era film noir kind of thing that really, really works. It's not from the same era as Chinatown, but it's got the same vibe as Chinatown. It's really, really good. By the way, I put out a question a little bit earlier. What is the greatest one-hit wonder of all time? I said Dexy's Midnight Runners, Come on, Eileen. What pops into your head, Alan Sliwa?
All right, a couple really annoying songs, but definitely one-hit wonders. The Macarena.
Yeah, Macarena is annoying. That's annoying.
Very annoying. But just think about at that time how popular it was. And then Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah,
the
Baha Men. Yeah, Baha Men. I got a couple of interesting responses to this. One was Brady Anderson.
Well, that was steroids, I think.
Greatest one-hit wonder of all time. And the other one, Marcellus and Farnham.
That last, how long did that go?
That did not last long. No, I love it, Sean, too.
But
I love
it
Sean,
like,
too.
It was literally like a week, 2 weeks.
I think it might have been 2 weeks. It's the shortest running show in the history
Bill
of the
station. Bill the co-host killer.
That's right. Marcellus killed a lot of co-hosts over the years. All right, coming back next, more of this. Oh, actually, let's get into the outbreak.
Let's get
things you never thought you'd say on the radio. Let's get into the outbreak. Coming up next, Mason in Ireland. Slee was here, 710 ESPN.
My crosstalk on 710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross-Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great cross-trade service for our listeners right now. A $99 drain cleaning. Go to powerproplumbing.com.
So I was just reading about, you know, a lot of people are tweeting about Regis passing away.
Yeah, yeah.
At its peak, for a single episode, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire had 35.6 million viewers. That's a divisional round playoff game in the NBA or in the NFL and blows away NBA wow. Finals and World Series numbers.
Well, you know, remember, that was going on when I lived in New York. It was 99 and 2000, and that show completely blew up. Reege lived in my neighborhood, and he recorded that show right at the corner of 66 and West End, which was really near where I lived on the Upper West Side. And Reege used to come on the show and talk about it and pump everybody up for it. Just a fantastic, naturally likable, completely authentic guy. There was nothing put on there. He was who he was. Love the guy. Love the guy.
How old was he? John, how old was he?
88.
Was he
88.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say 90.
Yeah,
that's a good run.
Mm-hmm. You know when it's not a good run? When you're 87 and you're looking at 88 and you're thinking, no, 88's not a good run. I want more run.
Both of my grandparents made it to 90, but my dad only made it to 84. Mace, how old did your dad make it to?
My dad made it to 74.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little low. Like, you saw that Olivia de Havilland passed away, though she was in Gone with the Wind, at
103.
104?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't want 104.
The last 20 are a waste of time.
Give me 90 and I'm done.
Seriously, don't you think the last 20 are a waste of time?
I'll take them. I'll
you
sit
want
on
them?
The couch.
You want as many as you can?
Sit on the couch, watch TV. I'm good to go. I'll take them. It's funny because in my family, do you guys have this, by the way, where one side of the family, my mom's side, like my grandpa was 94 when he passed. My dad's side, when my dad passed, he was 69, and I think my grandpa was 68, somewhere around there. But, like, such a difference in, at least from that standpoint. But one side of the family, they get into their 90s. The other side, you know, not as much. But
yeah, my family all lived really long, so I probably am in for a long run. My dad fell. That's how he died. Otherwise, he would have kept on going. After 80, I don't know. No, I shouldn't say that. My mom is 78. After 90, it becomes just sort of monotonous, I would think.
Mace, I could see you sitting there watching Dodger games,
eating donuts, smoking weed.
That's right. The donuts and weed.
Then the next day, trying to remember who won the game. Who did win the game? I forget. Didn't Muncy do something? Yeah.
By the way, how concerned are you guys on this Marlins story, the Philly story, just the baseball story in general?
Less than others are, Alan. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot today about people saying they got to shut the season down. This is it. This is the end of baseball. Baseball's never going to make it. They have 30-man rosters with 30-man taxi squads. Let's hold off on the doom and gloom. It very well could be the beginning of what ends the season, but I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, actually, get that Stan Kasten thing. Stan Kasten, president of the Dodgers, talked about it a little bit earlier today.
I don't believe there's going to be any panic just yet. I think we understood there might be occasions like this, which is why we had our player pool as big as it is. I don't know what's going to happen to the Marlins because I don't really know the extent of it just yet and who may or may not be infected and for how long they may be at risk. So I guess we'll get an update on all of that. My understanding from talking to other teams is that it's supposed to be business as usual, at least for every other team. I know that the game in Miami and in Philadelphia for tonight has been postponed. I don't know how we make it up or when. So maybe we'll learn all of those things today, but I also think this is going to be an evolving process. And hopefully this is the worst outbreak we have for the rest of the season, because it will teach us some things. But I do think we expected something like this at some point, and maybe getting it out of the way early will help teach us things that will avoid repetitions of these going forward.
So that's the most optimistic view of all, right? In other words, Stan's saying, hey, because it happened early, we get a chance to study it, to learn from it, to figure out how to handle it in the future. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, damn, you've only been playing 3 days and you've already got a COVID outbreak.
Yeah, you can spin it either way you want. Alan, what do you think? Alan, what percentage chance do you give baseball to crown a champion this year?
You know, it's a punch in the gut. I would say after, you know, seeing this news, I would say 50%. And I'm throwing that number out there simply because they haven't traveled yet. And I think that once they do start traveling, you're obviously growing your risk of COVID-19 spreading. But listen, a couple days go by in baseball, and I'm sure you guys were feeling the same exact way. By Saturday, even Sunday, you're like, wow, look at this. This is working great. There's not really any question marks here. Everything looks fine. You almost stop thinking about COVID-19 for a quick second. So I think it's natural for people to panic, because we haven't had this happen yet in baseball. So this might happen a couple times, and a couple times through, they might have a perfect blueprint of what to do when 7 players or 10 players get COVID-19. But just because it hasn't happened yet, I think it's fair to panic a little bit to see if they're going to be able to have this thing done or not.
Well, you know, the other thing is, and we talked about this earlier, is that it doesn't matter necessarily this year that everybody plays the same number of games. Like, for example, Miami isn't going to play today and isn't going to play tomorrow. They're playing, I think, they were supposed to play the Orioles. Philly is not playing the Yankees today because they were exposed to COVID through the Marlins. It may be that some teams will play 60 games, some teams will play 57, some teams will play 55, and the playoffs are determined by winning percentage, and because there are 16 teams getting in, that's not such a bad way to slice and dice it.
And I think we'd be naive to think, and for a second there you fall into this, that everything is just going to go perfect. It obviously is not going to go perfect.
Well, Alan, I disagree. Everything is perfect because it's
624.
Yeah!
That's it.
You never see it coming, do you? Never see it coming.
I keep an eye on the clock.
What do you got coming up, Sliwa?
Tanya Ganguly, Inside the Bubble, will come up at 7. And a short Lakers talk show today, about an hour, and then we go straight to LAFC.
Seattle. Yeah. We're cutting into it. Get to it.
This is an elimination game, right?
Yeah, this is round of 16.
Right. Yeah, we're a knockout game. They advanced from their group. So tonight, and that's a rematch, by the way, of last year's Western Conference Finals, where LAFC lost to Seattle 3-1 and missed their opportunity to go to the championship game. All right. Hey, Sliwa, have a good time, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
We're back tomorrow, 2:55 sharp, 7:10 ESPN.